Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go. Go for it. Hello, and welcome to Go For It, everybody. I am your host, Paul Gann, alongside. Jeremy Yespe, and for the next hour, we'll be talking sports and having fun doing it. And of course, the number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And also, you can send messages to the show. Email messages at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Jeremy, are you with us?
Hey, Paul. How are you? Good night. Good evening.
Good day.
Greetings.
How was your day?
Now, I'm coming off of a rough illness. I'm feeling better. Glad to get to spend the next hour with you. And I know we're going to talk a bit about the NBA and get into a lively discussion on athletes and their decisions.
Essentially, whether or not they can change, or the notion of change in general. Now, we'll start with Tiger Woods and Ben Roethlisberger. Unless you've been under some kind of rock or something, you got to know that Tiger returned this week and he was at the Masters. He finished five back of the leader and the winner of the Masters, Phil Mickelson. But a lot of the big story, a lot of big stuff coming out of the Masters was the profanity. The profanity that Tiger was spewing on the course. And we all know that Tiger has been, in a lot of ways, a sailor on the course. You probably could replace that Nike hat with a sailor's hat, the way Tiger's been cursing on that course. But Tiger stated earlier this week at the Masters press conference that he will refrain from those antics. As he would put it, I'm not going to get as hot when I play. So basically, Tiger's telling the world that he's going to be a mellow, a kinder, gentler Tiger Woods.
And Paul, let me ask you, a kinder, gentler Tiger, how does that transition, in your opinion, to golf, to what the PGA, the image that Tiger had pre and post Elon, if you will?
Well, I mean, Tiger's always been, like I said before, Tiger's always been known to be a sailor out there. The language that he uses, he's always been known to be a sailor. And he's telling the world, telling me, he's telling you, that now he's not going to do that anymore. He's going to respect the game. He's not going to get as hot when he plays. He's telling me, he's telling you,
that
he's going to change.
Does that translate well to advertising revenue for Tiger Woods? I mean,
sure.
So Nike's going to sell as many figurines with the Tiger fist pump. Now that we have the Tiger fist pump.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, Tiger Woods has to rehabilitate his act now, because now he's not the role model. He's not the squeaky clean individual that he was. He's not that guy anymore. So now Tiger has to, in a lot of ways, to be this guy and act like that guy, that kinder, that gentler Tiger Woods. But I understand what you're saying with the fist pump. That's kind of been his trademark for
many
years.
And my question is his game going to suffer? I mean, is an athlete who doesn't show emotion on their field of play going to be as competitive as the athlete that lets it all out there, leaves their entire, you know, emotion on the field, if you will? Is Tiger going to be as competitive?
Well, obviously he couldn't control his emotions as we saw this week, because he was going back to the profanity on the court.
Well, not just was he, so with his caddy, and that's, you know, an interesting thing about Tiger is, you know, and a kind of a counter discussion is, how does one guy cleaning up maybe his image or cleaning up, you know, him changing, how does that correlate in a team environment where most people, they don't want to see even a sport like golf as a
but it's
sport.
Golf is like it's a gentleman's game. It's not. If you watch the golf, you notice that everybody's quiet when they're about to shoot. You hear the announcers talking just like this. Tiger's about to approach. And so everything is quiet. Everything is not a loud and boisterous game like a football or like a basketball game or even a baseball game for that matter. So it's a gentleman's game in a lot of ways.
But is it going to translate well to watching Tiger now where he falters in the final day? Because as you said, and it was clear, he got frustrated on the course. He made a couple bad shots. His emotions were not in check, and it definitely translated into the back nine. To me, watching the final round of the Masters, it was very clear to see. You take him now out of his game, and he's definitely image conscious.
In terms of his game, a lot of that could be rust. I mean, he's taking a lot of time off.
Oh, definitely. He's taken a tremendous amount of time off. But
right. So it's kind of hard for us to say whether that's emotion or is that rust.
His frustration, Paul, is very evident. Where before he was going to, you know, on the field, you know, say a few words. Choice words, you know, throw a club, slam this, and then he's going to get, you know, back out on the course. Now he's having to watch the cameras. And how much of a distraction is it when you're telling the media that you're going to start making changes, and the minute you say something that's not in sync with what you've told the media, do they have hours and hours of coverage on the one or two mistakes that you make?
I mean, but I understand what you're saying, but doesn't even come back to a larger issue. I mean, how do you expect a guy to, I mean, if there are microphones everywhere and a guy's in a heated battle in a lot of ways on the golf course, is it almost expected for him to use profanity?
Well, I mean, and I'm sure, Paul, you're the master of when profanity is used and unused, because the last time I checked, I don't think you used profanity.
But it doesn't make me... And that's just because, you know, it's something I never did. But at the same time, in a lot of ways, Tiger's been the opposite of that. He's a guy who has used profanity many times on the course.
And my point is, when you tell people you're going to start making some changes, and then you put them not just on national TV, but you put them on, you know, it's just the global environment, how hard is it now for them to be under the microscope and make one or two little mistakes?
I understand what you're saying in that respect, but you also have to look at, I understand what you're saying, what you say, you got to be a person of your word and say you're going to change. But as we all know, change doesn't happen with a snap of the finger. I mean, if that was the case, we would need AA and all these other drug and alcohol rehab centers. We wouldn't need centers for sexual addiction. We wouldn't need any of these things if change happened with a snap of a finger. So it's going to take time. I know we have to take him at his word in saying that he is going to change, but at the same time, we have to be reasonable within all that.
And you feel, Paul, so you're saying that, you know, we're going to have to watch the new Tiger evolve, being mindful of the fact that potentially you may lose a piece of the old Tiger. I mean, you can't make these kind of changes and keep the person you are. Can you? I mean, can you stay?
I mean, you can make changes. You can. You're basically just modifying who you are. You're not going all the way to the left or all the way to the right. You're just making some changes within yourself. You're still Tiger, but you're going to be a kinder Tiger on the course. You're going to be a gentler Tiger on the course. But again, will that translate into his personal life? Probably not. I mean, everybody's, and when we get in front of that camera and that red light is on, we become different animals. We become different creatures. We're not the same people.
But
and that's the same for Tiger in a lot of ways.
But so Tiger to me on the course, not as emotional. I didn't see him when he got frustrated. I saw him in a way almost shutting down. You know, you could see him because he was trying to be very mindful, be very respectful of his emotions, and you were able to watch him for the first time really kind of just fade away and shut down so that he didn't lose control and doesn't revert to the old Tiger that we're very used to seeing.
Well, I mean, the old Tiger supposedly, I can't say he's dead, but because we saw him this week, but in a lot of ways, the old Tiger, according to Tiger Woods, is in the process of dying. And so within that process of dying, again, it's not happening overnight. It's not happening overnight. He's not going to be a mere pussycat overnight. He's still going to be Tiger. So, I mean, the moment he may become that pussycat at some point. But as of right now, as of today, he's still Tiger. And he's still the same old Tiger. He has not changed.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that you're definitely right. My overall point when we talk about, you know, especially these athletes and then the change, it always follows the event. You know, I don't see Tiger Woods making this change had the life change that occurred, you know, at his home not taking place. I didn't see Tiger Woods making this change before his home is crumbled. And my question is how sincere, you know, why is his motive for doing this? Does he really want to change, or does he have Nike breathing down his back saying, Tiger, we're not selling T-shirts? Does it the PGA Tour say, and the PGA, you know, if you listen to what the PGA Tour was saying, they were very honest in their assessments of the fact that attendance was down at the events on TV. The advertising dollars were down. And
well, Tiger's golf. Let's be honest about some things. He's golf.
But how much of this then, how much of this change is Tiger, and how much of this change is,
well,
what you call it golf?
Well, a lot of this change is just words at this point, and I think all it will ever be in a lot of ways is words. Because for the mere fact is, Tiger is just, see, once Tiger wins a major or two, we'll all forget about this. I mean, we'll stop caring. It always happens. Kobe was with his rape situation. We forgot about it. We forget about these things. It doesn't take much for us to forget about these things. All this guy has to do is go back to doing what he has always done. On the basketball court, on the golf course, and so on and so forth. And that's going to be the same for Ben Roethlisberger in a lot of ways. He's telling us now, and at a press conference yesterday, he's telling us that, and then this is a quote from him, I absolutely want to be the leader of this team, and I want to be valued in the community and a role model to kids. Now, this is a guy who, again, last year, he had a sexual assault against him. Granted, it was a civil case. This year, he had an allegation. Granted, charges were dropped. Charges were never filed against him. So, but at the same time, Big Ben, you're not doing things that a role model will do. You're basically living like a college kid in a lot of ways. And basically, Big Ben, you want us and expect us to believe that you will change. He's expecting us to believe that he will change. And I don't know, to be honest with you, whether I believe it.
You look, Paul, you look at, here, there's another great, great example, Ben Roethlisberger. Is he making that statement before all of what happened to him? And we recognize that the charges, essentially, you know, they go away. You know, he obviously may not have committed the act that the media portrayed him to commit, but obviously he's in the club with inappropriate individuals at 20 years old, and then look at the receiver for New York Giants. Name is help me out.
You talk about Santonio Holmes, or you talk about Plaxico?
Both, but mainly Plaxico. Here's a guy walking into a club with a gun in his pocket, fully loaded, and then he wants to be a role model. Michael Vick wants. Everybody wants to be role models.
Everybody wants you to. I think it comes down to this. Everybody wants you to believe that they changed. They want you to believe that they have changed. And I think at the same time, our expectations are wrong because no one changes overnight. It's a process. So the pressure that we're putting on them is wrong. And even for them to, you know what, Allen Iverson, for example. The guy will tell you all the time, you know what? I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm going to make a lot more mistakes. He lays it on the line all the time, and he'll tell you that. And to me, I respect that more than a guy like a Ben Roethlisberger or a Tiger Woods, because those guys are really not acknowledging that. They're not saying that they're going to make mistakes again. Allen Iverson lays it on the line and telling you, you know what? I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. And I'm going to make them again.
But Paul, do you believe? I mean, I think Iverson is a great example. Do you see any of these athletes sincere in their change? I mean, is what they are saying, is what they are doing sincere, or is it part of, like you said, the ploy to get people to believe that until the championship comes for Ben Roethlisberger, the next major tour championship comes for Tiger, that goes away, and then we'll forget about it because that's what we do. I mean, we're the fans first and foremost.
In reality, that's exactly what I believe is going to happen. It's just it's like giving your little baby a pacifier. For that moment, you want the baby to stop crying. You want to control the baby for that moment. But ultimately, in reality, that's what you're doing. That's what these athletes are doing to you, to me, to all of us, to the public. They're putting a little pacifier in our mouth, and then once they win that championship, and once they do what they got to do, win that MVP award or any other individual award, then they'll forget about it, and we'll forget about it. It won't mean anything to us anymore.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree. I find, unfortunately, the athlete today and the whole scenario of a role model or them being looked at in a positive form, you see a lot of what's happening with the children and the young adults. It's very fashionable to be in the clubs in your 30s today, and you look at what are people doing with their life. Well, they see an athlete who, you know, is in the club every night of the week. And they think, well, if they're in the clubs every night, I got to be in the clubs every night.
Well, I mean.
But a guy like Ben Roethlisberger being in the club, Paul, you know, he is a world-class athlete. He's a Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl winner. I mean, really, does he belong in those environments?
That goes to a topic, another topic, in terms of whether athletes should be allowed in the club. But
not allowed in the club. Are they? Is what they're doing in their personal life in synchronization to what they do in their professional life?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. Let's turn the question back to you in a lot of ways. Okay, you work Monday through Friday, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. You got to get up and off to work. Is it possible even for you to go to the club every night, even if you wanted to?
Well no. I don't disagree with you. They live an unnatural lifestyle.
Right. Exactly.
Most Americans have to go to work 9 to 5, but the reality is the 9 to 5 is 7 or 6:30 to 6:30. And yeah, you can't go to the club every night of the week. They have other responsibilities. They don't have nannies, and they're not able to enjoy the lifestyle and the money. The factor of you have to be dressed and you have to have 20 in your pocket, and most Americans don't have that luxury. Ben Roethlisberger, Tiger Woods, Plaxico Burress, that's the last thought on their mind. They have nannies for their children, and if they don't have kids, you know, their wives and other ones, it's very understood that they don't ask questions.
And it's almost like it's arranged, and you know, this is the way it's going to be, and everybody knows what's the deal, and they're just doing what they're doing and what they want to do.
And when you look at that's where you get back to the overarching question is, you know, is this change? First of all, how sincere is it? And that's what I always look at is, what's the motive? You know, follow the money. And the money is, what about the, you know, what about the advertiser revenue, the TV contracts, the personal advertising on a local before even a national level? And sure, they want that money to flow in far after sports.
But and you got to remember something about the notion of change. It's something people want to hear. You know, I'm changing. I'm going to do this better, and that better. But there's a man in the White House who essentially rode the notion of change to the White House, all the way to Pennsylvania Avenue. So,
well,
I mean, we as a public like to hear something like that. We like to hear something like that.
Well, of course, the average American, Paul, is as dumb as the day is long. Sure, you're gonna change everything. It's gonna cost you nothing, and there's gonna be no sacrifice. Which that's the million to make believe, and that's what Tiger Woods rolled out. That, you know, he's gonna change as a person. He's gonna go back to his religion, and he's going to be a better father. And of course, it was interesting. If you heard the wrap up interview right at the end of the Masters, they said to him, you know, when's the next time you're going to be out on the golf course? And of course, his answer was he doesn't know. He needs to go back and evaluate things, which pretty much means he has no point in playing in a non-theoretical money-making event. He's only going to come out now for the majors until this can blow over and, you know, he gets the go-ahead from his people. He hires a former White House press secretary to, you know, be the spearhead of his resurgence. And then you have Ben Roethlisberger holding a press conference after he's exonerated, not after winning the Super Bowl or being drafted in the NFL, just after the second life-altering event in less than a year.
And so, and it comes down to this question, and I'd like to throw this out to the callers. When people and athletes tell you they change, do you really believe it? Do you really believe it when Ben Roethlisberger tells you that he's going to be a role model? Do you really believe it when Tiger Woods tells you that he's going to stop cursing on the course? Do you believe it? And it goes back to even this. How many times have you heard an athlete say, I'm in the best shape of my life? How many times have you heard that? It's you hear it all the time. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm poised to have this type of season, a breakout season. I'm in the best shape of my life. So basically he's telling you that he has changed. He's changed his body. He's changed some things about himself, and he's poised to have the greatest career of his life, the greatest year of his life, because he's in the greatest shape of his career. So the question becomes, when people and athletes tell you that they have changed, do you believe it?
And a better
do
question,
you believe it?
But, Paul, do you really care? I mean, does it matter that Dennis Rodman had orange hair or if he has his regular hair, as long as he's rebounding the ball? I mean, as a fan, do you even really care what these guys are telling you they're going to do or what they're talking about as long as they're winning?
I think we do care. I think we do care. And, I mean, do I care personally? No, probably not. I mean, if he's out roaming the clubs, or anybody, any athlete for that matter, if they're in the clubs doing what they got to do, as long as they bring it on the court, as long as they bring it on the field, I could care less. But there are a lot of people out here who do care. And that's why these guys are having these press conferences, because someone cares. And I think a lot of this stuff at the end of the day, it's all about sponsorships. A lot of these guys are doing this stuff for sponsorships. As an NFL player, as an NBA player, as any type of professional athlete, you are a big part of the brand. So if a member of the brand is doing things that Joe Public doesn't like, and Joe Public doesn't want to support it, then you have to do things to clean that up, and in a lot of ways, that's what the NFL has done with their various suspensions.
They're the that's the model, Paul. I mean, you're seeing the NFL create the model for, I think many sports are soon to follow suit, which is, I mean, well, you saw what happened to Santonio Holmes. He messed around, and he's got four games. And that, they're hitting right in their wallet, and they're not only hitting them in their wallet, they're hitting the teams and, you know, the teams that are signing these guys, because now, you know, the Jets go out, make a trade, and they don't have a guy for a quarter of their season. So it's, and Ben Roethlisberger certainly, if he doesn't face some form of a suspension, I would be really surprised.
And he did meet with Roger Goodell today.
Right.
So we'll see what happens in terms of a suspension. What I'm reading, a lot of people are expecting something. I mean, if you suspend a guy like Pac-Man Jones, I mean, before he was convicted of anything, in a lot of ways you have to suspend Ben Roethlisberger. It's only right if you're going to suspend a guy like Pac-Man Jones, you got to suspend a guy like Ben Roethlisberger.
No, well, I think his suspension is coming. There's no question. And the other major issue for the NFL is, I think they had to start getting to a point where they maybe step up some of these suspensions, because it seems like it hasn't. Four games doesn't hurt these guys. I think who would really hurt the most, you used as a great example, is Pac-Man Jones. Spending a guy for a season, I mean, it ruins a career. And, you know, for Pac-Man, it's going to be hard to see him back in the league. Four games, you know, you're still a talented player, and we can still make some things work with you if you're an NFL GM. But a season, it's hard. It's hard to get that work monetarily.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. I mean, because you're talking big Ben Roethlisberger, a big-time NFL superstar playing for a premier franchise of the NFL. So it should be interesting whether or not Goodell will suspend him. I expect it to happen, but we'll see what happens. I mean, because Pac-Man Jones, he's not as popular as Ben Roethlisberger. He's not as important to a team as Ben Roethlisberger, so it should be very, very interesting how that plays out. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And again, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Now, we go to the NBA. Season's winding down now. That Western Conference, if you look at the Western Conference, about two games left for the season ends tomorrow. And you look at that Western Conference, man, it's just jumbled. I mean, you got teams who are just a few games behind each other. You have Utah and Phoenix and Denver, who all have 28 losses. So that's 3, 4, and 5. And then you have Dallas, who has 27 losses. So the difference between 5 and the difference between 2 is pretty much one game. Pretty much one game. So in reality, we're not going to know who teams are going to play probably till the end of the year. But one matchup that is set in the Western Conference, and it could be a big matchup, that's Kevin Durant and the Oklahoma Thunder against those Los Angeles Lakers and Kobe Bryant. That could be a big-time series.
I think that it's good that you want people to believe something, Paul, because there's not much to believe in these days. But to think that the Oklahoma Thunder are even going to win two games against the Lakers is sad. When you look at the Western Conference, it's either going to be the Lakers or Denver. And I think it's fair to assume if Bynum comes back, if Bynum's healthy, they will roll, especially over. It's going to be a good learning experience for Durant and for Oklahoma City. They're extremely talented, and they're certainly in a year or two going to be a major contender. The age is on their side, but not this year. And not against this Lakers team. especially in the West, where the top six are separated by six games.
Well, I mean, I don't think Oklahoma City will beat the Lakers. I don't believe they will. But I do think they have an opportunity to make the series interesting. And one thing about Kevin Durant, the guy is averaging over 30 points a game. And so on any given night, he is a type of guy who can drop 40 and steal a ball game for your ball club. Now, I'm not saying he can steal four games for you. But I'm saying he may be able to steal two to three.
In the playoffs that he's never been to against a, you know, proven winner in the – a machine, not a winner. They're a machine. And especially in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years, this Lakers team, they understand their objective. And especially an Oklahoma City team that's never been there, doesn't really recognize and then Andrew Bynum coming back. And even if he sees in the first series 16 to 20 minutes a game, they're not going to be able to match up those 16 minutes with even a rusty Bynum. You know, Kobe and Gasol, it will be a good learning tool for them. I think if you want to look at the West, who you maybe want to look at is the lower half of the seed and say somebody that's going to slide into the playoffs that really could make some noise is San Antonio. They're going to walk into the playoffs in anywhere between, you know, the fifth, anywhere between 4 and 7 seed, and certainly even if they're at the 7th seed, which is where they're at now, they could win a series or two just on their name.
Well, I mean, Dallas, you got San Antonio, who is a veteran-laden ball club, who's a ball club who definitely has been there. They definitely have been to the top. And it's not a team I want to play, quite frankly, if I'm a higher-seeded ball club. Because of that experience, because of Tim Duncan, because of Manu Ginobili, because of Tony Parker. I mean, you got guys there who won titles and guys there who are experienced in the playoffs.
I mean, so that's
not a team I want to see.
I look at the West, and that's the one team you talk about, a sleeper team or a team that could surprise a lot of people. But you never know because, and you said, the way it may shake out, they could jump from 7th today or tonight to 4th. I don't see anybody. The first three, I think it's going to be obviously the Lakers, Dallas, and then Denver. But I think Denver and Dallas, the race for 2 and 3 is up in the air. I don't see, even though Utah's a game back, I don't see anybody beating those three teams for the top three in the league. I think Utah, San Antonio, you see them 4-5. Again, San Antonio is still a 5th seed, a 4th seed. I think they're, to me, the team you don't want to play.
And I agree with you. And I think the team that you do want to play is the Portland Trail Blazers because of the injury to Brandon Roy, who tore his meniscus on Sunday against the Lakers. So, again, Portland is losing their big-time player in Brandon Roy, and I don't think it's a guy they can replace. So if I'm somebody, I want to be able to play Portland. And as of right now today, Denver, which is in the 3 seed, would play Portland in the playoffs. So if I'm the Nuggets, I want to stay there, and I hope that Portland. If I'm the Nuggets, I hope Portland will stay there at 6, because without Brandon Roy, they don't have a shot. They may be competitive, but they don't have a shot to win a series without Brandon Roy.
No, I could. I mean, I think for the West, you're going to see the first 6 teams beating each other up, only to face one team coming out of the West, the East, Orlando. And I think if I'm in the East, if you're in the East coming out of the East, whoever makes it to the finals has a much easier road than watching the really 6 of the 8 teams in the West banging and having, you know, hard fought battles to win every game. Orlando's, to me, when we look at transition to the East, they're the only team that matters.
So you're saying it's just Orlando and the Lakers?
I mean, I know you and I have battled back and forth about LeBron.
I just don't know how you can say that when you have a LeBron James in Cleveland.
Because I don't...
I don't know how you can say that.
They added the wrong player. They had a chance to add someone that would have brought them potentially championship caliber in Stoudemire, and they went after Jameson, who isn't playoff proven, hasn't been play, you know, hasn't played in the deep rounds of the playoffs. And you, Paul, you know as well as I do, when they get to the finals, when it gets to the championship conference, it's a different level. It's a different game. Guys that did well in the regular season don't do well there. And, you know, for Cleveland to walk in against an Orlando team that beat them bad last year without the Stoudemire that they needed to match up against the real Superman, I don't know how it's going to work.
Well, I think the real Superman is in Cleveland. Until Dwight Howard, until Dwight Howard duplicates what Shaq has done, as far as I'm concerned, the real Superman is in Cleveland. And I think the addition of Shaq will get that ball club over the top because, again, they had no answer for Dwight Howard last year. They did not have an answer for Dwight Howard. But with Shaq there, you got a guy who can possibly limit Dwight Howard, a guy who can possibly play Dwight Howard straight up. So, I mean...
I'll disagree. I think that Shaq was definitively maybe the original. He was certainly the original Superman. Not anymore. There's a new...
No, I'm not... Well, you can turn the page all you want. I'm not turning that page. The real Superman is the Diesel. And arguably the most dominating player ever to play the game, and that's Shaquille O'Neal. That's the real Superman.
Okay. Well, at 12 points a game... I mean, I'm sorry. I will disagree. I think he's certainly not going to compare. If they meet in the finals, they're certainly not going to compare. And it's certainly going to be those two teams in the final. And nothing changed for Cleveland in terms of their roster. In reality, you know.
Well, I mean, you saw what happened last year when Amari Stoudemire and Shaquille O'Neal teamed up. Nothing. They didn't play well together. And they didn't make the playoffs. So now. You're teaming up. It wasn't necessary for them to team up Stoudemire and Shaq again. I thought they did the right thing against Jameson. I thought that was a better move for them. And I think it will be enough, again, to get this ball club over the hump and into the NBA Finals. Who they'll play, I don't know. It's probably going to be the Lakers. More than likely, it will be the Lakers. But, again, that Western Conference is tough. That's tough. It's a lot harder in the West than it is in the East. But if you look at, I mean, if anybody loses in the West, it's not an upset. It's not an upset at all. Not an upset at all.
I think the problem for the conference teams in the West heading out, you know, and playing and battling, you know, a conference team is going to come down to at least seven games. Many of them are going to come down to that seventh game. Injuries are going to be a factor. They're going to go deep into the playoffs, the season itself. A team like Dallas, who perennial has always been a great regular season team, I think you look at Dallas, they're going to fade fast. They're older, and they're not going to be able to run with Utah, with Phoenix, or they're not going to be able to bang with San Antonio. But when you look at the other teams, the remaining teams, the Denvers, the Utahs, the Lakers, and San Antonio's, It's a crapshoot. If they get hot, if they play well, you can't say that even a hot Utah team won't be able to, in a seven-game series, not beat the Lakers. I think any team in the West, I won't be surprised. I would be shocked to see the Lakers not in the playoffs or not in the finals, but I can't see anybody in the East other than Orlando.
Boston.
It's boring for the viewer to watch the Eastern Conference Finals night in and night out.
Well, I mean, with Boston, Boston has a shot. Again, I think they're a little too old. And Atlanta's playing some good basketball, but again, a little too young. They just don't have enough. So, again, I agree with you. I think the East does come down to two teams, Cleveland and Orlando. And I think the West... comes down essentially to the Lakers. I mean, Denver and Dallas and San Antonio, these are teams that could give them a scare, but I don't think they have enough.
If you're watching these playoffs, you're at home, you're sitting on your couch, and I mean, how much time are you investing? And this is it kind of gets back to a crossover point that you're making in terms of, you know, athletes and the changes. But I always like to focus too on the advertising and the business aspect of all this is, how much time are you going to spend watching the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference?
Well, I mean, you're definitely going to probably invest more time into the West. But you're going to watch.
Well,
you're definitely going to watch.
I mean,
if you're a big-time basketball fan, you're going to watch. I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. Will I spend more time with the West? Yes. But will I watch the East? Yes, I'll watch it. But you're right. I probably will spend more time with the Western Conference.
Do you see the East and you look at, again, it's an NBA that's trying to – they're trying to rein in their image. And, you know, certainly if you're David Stern, you have to be concerned with certain teams now in the East maybe getting up 2-0, 3-0, and distraction. And how these distractions are going to play moving into the playoffs. You have a somewhat younger Atlanta team in the playoffs for the first time. Milwaukee, Charlotte, Chicago, and what are their images? What's going to happen to them in the playoffs? How is that going to factor into the NBA and the image that they're trying to redisplay to the fans? When you're looking out West, when you have these are business like teams, Lakers, Denver, Dallas, Utah, Portland, with the exception of Portland, San Antonio and Phoenix, seven of the eight teams, they've been there 5-6 years in a row.
Well, essentially, all these series in the West are toss-ups in a lot of ways. I mean, if Portland has a healthy Brandon Roy, you could say the Denver series could be considered a toss-up. I mean, Denver obviously is the favorite, but, I mean, at the same time, Portland is a type of team that definitely could give Denver some problems. Portland is a type of team that can give anybody in the Western Conference problems. But, if I look at these series the way they are, I mean, the Suns and the Jazz, toss-up. Mavericks-Spurs, in some respects, that could be a toss-up. And in terms of the Lakers and the Thunder, I mean, I think the Thunder could compete. But I think, again, the Lakers will win that series. So, I mean, basically, two out of the four series are toss-ups in the Western Conference.
I look. You talked about Kevin Durant. I look to see what's going to happen to him in the playoffs. Watch. We look at images, and here's a young guy. He can really, if he has a good playoffs, even if they go out and they get swept, you can watch him catapult now. Competing on ESPN, definitely getting some of the share, the front running highlights. He's up there with the Kobe's. He's up there with the young players. If he comes out and does well, Paul, I mean, we talked earlier about athletes and images. What do you look for with Kevin Durant? Where do you see him going?
Well, Kevin Durant has proven to be a superstar in a lot of ways. Averaging, like I said, 30 points a game. And it's probably going to win the scoring title. So, Kevin, and if you're in the NBA, you're excited about getting a guy like Kevin Durant into the playoffs because he's another superstar. And in terms of the NBA in general, I've heard the argument, oh, the NBA is not the same, it's not the same, not the same. I don't believe it. I mean, you got a lot of superstars, a lot of young superstars out here, a LeBron James, a Kevin Durant, a Dwight Howard. I mean, you got a lot of superstars, Kobe Bryant. You got superstars out here, Carmelo Anthony. There's a bunch of superstars out here. So
who hurt the NBA most, Paul, was the guy, and again, it gets back to the earlier point, who hurt the NBA most was a guy like Allen Iverson, who made more headlines off of the court than he really made on the court. Sure, he put up his 20, 30 points a night, but his turnover ratio was atrocious. His shot percentage wasn't where it needed to be. And his press conferences, his off-the-field antics is what really – it hurt the image of the NBA. It showed that the player was more than the game, and it got to a point where the fans were disgusted. We're from Philadelphia. We knew what we had in Allen Iverson. Sure, they made it to the finals. You know they weren't going to win. And you get tired of watching that, and you get tired of watching that product.
I think that the league, in a lot of ways, they encouraged, they kind of bought into that hip-hop persona that AI has, and that a lot of our, the players have. So, and buying into that, you got to take both sides what comes both sides of the plate what comes with that. I mean, two things, many things come with that. You just can't have it one way, and a lot of ways that the dress code was kind of a way to offset that in some respect. And but it's kind of hard to say I'm embracing this part of you, but I'm not going to embrace that part of you.
No, I think that you're it's an important point that the NBA and the crossroads that they're at is part and parcel of the fact that I think they watched the league in transition, and they did. They embraced the player. They enjoyed the Allen Iverson fiascos because it brought them free media, free advertisements. But they didn't look at the fact that, of what kind of advertisement were they sending out in the long run. And that is it's a league of individuals. And now they have teams that maybe are young and upcoming, but it's a thug mentality in the NBA. You know, many people look at Atlanta and they don't see the talent that's on a very young, somewhat experienced team, but they see, oh, and it's the same with Chicago. It's a good young team, but they see it as a young thug team, and they're not really, they don't take the time to watch. And that is a part of the Allen Iverson culture, the Ben Roethlisberger culture of where the player maybe has a great career, but it's what they do off the field that really mattered more than what they were doing on the field.
And that's a big question we've been asking throughout the show. When athletes, when people say they have changed, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe when Tiger says he's changing? Do you believe that Ben Roethlisberger is saying he's changing? Do you believe it? The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And again, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Again, when people say they've changed, do you believe it?
Tonight, Paul, I mean, I'm sure you know as well as I know, my TiVo was burning the Midnight Oil. There's the 30 on 30 featuring Iverson. And it's interesting, you look at the change, and there was a guy that time and again in Philadelphia was preaching how he was going to change, and then he didn't, and then he gets traded, and he was in a new beginning in Denver. That was short-lived, short stint this year with two different NBA teams, and now a lot of reports are coming out that the guy's life is in just complete shambles.
But I've heard that, and a lot of ways, I mean, if you listen to one AI press conference, you probably have listened to them all. A lot of ways, it's always talking about, I'm going to change, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be the guy who does this, and do this great, and be a leader of this, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, obviously he's a guy who, in a lot of ways, has stayed the same. And he's a guy, in a lot of ways, that you hope that we'll eventually get it right, because he's 34 years old, and he's at the end. He's pretty much at the end of his career. So it's going to be time for him to transition into being a regular citizen now. And
but is change in reality in professional sports basically the story of Allen Iverson, Paul? Do you think
Well, some people have changed, but most have not, and most don't.
Who do you see as a changed, you know, from their sort of past to their glory present?
I guess you can say Chris Henry was on his way to change before he tragically died.
That's my thought. Well, there's more people like Allen Iverson, as you said, and if you hear his press conference over and over and over again, it's, I'm going to change, I'm going to do better, I want to do better. They want to do better, they want to change, but they don't really, it's more of what they have to say at the time than what they're going to do in the long run. They're saying something because it needs to be said, or they're
right.
being told. I mean, sure, Ben Roethlisberger says what he says today, only to find nothing.
And it's just change that in some ways we can't believe in. We have a caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hello, hi, Go For It, how are you?
Pretty good, yourself? Who am I speaking to?
This is Kim, how you doing?
Hey, Kim.
I'm just calling to basically talk about the change of the athletes. I think
can they
that,
change?
I think sometimes they can change. I hate to bring up Magic Johnson, you know, he's an old player or whatever, but he made some mistakes in life, and I think he's doing pretty good right now, you know, with his change. So I think they can. They're human. They make mistakes.
Well, that's
but, you know,
their fault. Now, that's a good point. You know, you look at a guy like Magic Johnson, just the HBO documentary. There's a guy that had a really sordid past, HIV virus, and it's come full circle.
But has he really changed? It's all relative in a lot of ways, but we see the public persona, but we don't know if he changed. You're assuming he changed.
I think he's changed by the things he's done and by, you know, the stuff he has shown and, you know, documentaries and everything. I believe he has. I don't hear anything else about him, you know, negative.
No, I mean, you're right. I don't hear anything negative about Magic Johnson. But
Paul, we know that he has AIDS outreach programs, HIV outreach programs. He's shelters for young children, youth mentoring, and, You also recognize before the life-altering event he had, I mean, that Magic Johnson was every night, you know, in the clubs, in the bars, at the
He enjoyed his life in a lot of ways.
Oh, sir.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, more athletes maybe need to take heed of their future than their present, than what's going to happen down the road. I mean, I look at Allen Iverson, I go back to him, you know, he has young children that are going to see a guy now that's going to, you know, his future is kind of already written. And how do you escape that? How do your kids escape that?
And in a lot of ways, that's something he's going to have to answer as he continues in his journey of life. He's going to have to answer that question.
So do you guys think the athletes can change?
I'm a little skeptical when somebody tells me that they're going to change, and they're changing, and they're going to do this and that. In a lot of ways, it takes a lot for me to believe it.
But isn't time will tell?
Well,
like,
time
you just have to wait and see.
Well, time is. Go ahead.
But Paul, we both know the only way these athletes are going to change is when the advertisers want them to change. Ben Roethlisberger did not sit at that podium today because he wanted to. He sat at that podium because Roger Goodell told him, you need to be at this press conference, here's what you're going to read, and here's what you're going to say. Tiger Woods hires a presidential press secretary to lead his foray back into mainstream media and golf. He didn't hire that person because he wanted to get back in touch with his religion, as he said in his press conference. He hired him because he needed to win over the public, because Nike told Tiger, we're not selling shirts.
In a lot of ways, you're right, but and that's why you got to be a little skeptical of this whole thing. And to me, it all comes down to, like you said, dollars and cents. So you don't know if someone really changed until years from
now.
The
athlete doesn't change until it costs them money or until it's going to make them money.
But is that everybody?
Well, I think you brought up a good point with the general public. They're not able to live the lifestyle. We can't make the same mistakes that these athletes can make today because it costs us too much money. We have risk involved because if we decide that we're going to live a risky lifestyle, it can cost us in the present. Where the athlete, it doesn't cost them anything.
Kim, is that everybody? Do you think that's everybody in terms of change? If the people are not going to change until it costs them?
I guess it depends.
Kim, you sound a little tired tonight.
Yeah, I am, but, you know, of course I had to listen to Go For It and then put my advice in and my words in.
You know, you sound like you're out there, you're working hard, and then you're calling into the show. It sounds like you made some changes, some positive changes.
I made what? I'm sorry?
Some positive changes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good to hear, Kim.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a good night.
Kim, I hope you have a sweet dream today. We appreciate your call.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, we had hard-working Kim. Sound the tires, I don't know what.
you got to wonder, Paul, when Kim's out there working that hard, how are these athletes in a club every night?
Maybe those athletes are looking for individuals like Kim.
Kim may be spoken for, though, Paul.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if Kim has changed. Or is she changed?
You know, Paul, it was an interesting discussion. It's going to be interesting to see what Tiger does the rest of the season, when he next pops up. It's going to certainly be interesting to watch how Ben Roethlisberger plays out the next piece in the next chapter of this saga.
It should be very interesting, but in a lot of ways, I don't believe it. Tiger, I don't believe you. You proved it this weekend. And Big Ben, you've been proving it a lot recently. And I really don't believe you either. So I don't think any of you guys have changed. It sounds good. It sounds great, actually. But you haven't changed. And more than likely, you probably won't change.
No,
so good luck with that change, Big Ben and Tiger. Good luck.
Well, so are we gonna hear the fine octave soon, Paul?
What are you talking about? What are you referring to?
We all have to. You have to put us all to bed now. It's 10 o'clock. You know, the night's almost over. I think everyone wants to go. You know, to bed and they want to hear a nice soft melody.
Well, here you go. Say McNabb, everybody. Say McNabb, everybody. He is the guy. If the Eagles want to fly, everybody say McNabb. So are we still trying to say McNabb?
Well, Paul, I think you are.
What about yourself? You giving up on the cause?
I think the Redskins have given up for me.
Well, It is unfortunate that McNabb is gone, but again, we have to turn the page, and we have turned the page. So the question, in a lot of ways, is now I got to ask you, does Tiger, Big Ben, do they change? Will they change?
No. I mean, we know that, Paul. No. They're gonna make their statement, make their press conference. And they made their advertisers happy, and it's back to the clubs for Roethlisberger, and back to Vegas for Tiger.
So are you gonna go bet the bookie that that these guys won't change?
It's already been in, Paul, placed.
All right, good luck with that bet. I think you might be all right with that one.
It's a shame, but I couldn't agree more.
And it's, in a lot of ways, it's a shame, it's sad, but at the end of the day, it's life. And there's really nothing you can do about it. We want to thank everybody who listened and those who've called. It's been a great hour, great discussion, great conversation. And it's something for all of us to think about in a lot of ways. Change. Do you believe it? I don't. I don't believe when a lot of these athletes say they have changed. I don't believe when a lot of athletes say that I'm in the best shape of my life. I don't believe this stuff because you heard it all before. You've heard it all before. It's a tired, broken record. But we all have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And that's all we have to do for them. And that's all we should do for them. So we want to thank everybody who's called. It's been another successful show. We all went for it with our opinions, our ideas, and our beliefs. So just like I brought you in, I got to take you out. Go! Go for it! Have a great week! Have a great day! Have a great night! Later!